Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear how the homeless community are being impacted by the coronavirus when the advice from public health officials is to wash hands frequently and self-isolate if you're experiencing symptoms. But what do you do if you have no home, if you have nowhere to isolate yourself and you have no access to sanitary facilities? We'll hear from an advocate from Denver Homeless Out Loud on what's happening and how we, the community, can help. After that, we'll hear from Netherlands. The Frozen Dead Guy Festival has been cancelled for this weekend, but regardless, we'll hear from the latest caretaker of the homeless dead guy. We'll hear about his thoughts on why there is a frozen dead guy in Netherlands, and his voice is part of a new series called Ned Speaks. It's an initiative of the Netherlands Public Library. We'll hear from the person who's leading that on why it is important that we hear these voices from the local community, and KGNU will be broadcasting some of these oral histories in the coming weeks. At the bottom of the hour, we'll go to Connections and a special programme coming up this morning in response to what is happening. We're going to take a look at the social implications of a public health crisis like this. We'll be joined in studio by Kathleen Tierney, who is a professor of sociology and the former director of the Natural Hazards Centre at CU Boulder, on how we can respond effectively in these times. At 9:30, we'll begin another morning of music on the Morning Sound Alternative. But first, it's time for the latest local headlines. Lawmakers at the state legislature held an unannounced meeting on Thursday morning to discuss options in the face of the possibility of the state legislature closing due to the coronavirus. A resolution to stop or suspend the session would in fact need the backing from a majority of lawmakers in both the House and the Senate. This is happening while lawmakers are also considering bipartisan emergency legislation that would give the Democrats and the Republicans the ability to change how the upcoming assemblies would take place. Single county assemblies and conventions and the multi-county assemblies and conventions are due to take place later this month and in April. However, with public health officials around the state advising limiting gatherings of large crowds, the future of the assemblies and conventions is in question. However, without passing legislation to change how they function, the parties have limited options. Several local school districts announced late yesterday that they would close for the coming weeks. Boulder Valley and St. Vrain Valley schools are closed from today through the end of spring break. That's a 2-week closure. The decision came after Boulder Public Health announced that a CU Boulder employee had tested positive this week for COVID-19. Jefferson County schools will also cancel class for the next 2 weeks, and Denver Public Schools announced they are closed for the next 3 weeks. For more updates on the local impacts of the coronavirus, here's Steve Miller.
Denver Mayor Michael Hancock declared a local state of emergency Thursday afternoon as reports of the new coronavirus increase throughout Colorado. The Denver Post reports that the declaration might make additional emergency resources available to city crews, according to Loea Escaline Garcia, the city's emergency management spokesperson. The declaration is to expire March 19th. Hancock is also discouraging large gatherings in Denver to prevent the spread of the virus. So far, 9 people in Denver have tested positive for the virus, and another 22 have been quarantined but show no symptoms. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's drive-up COVID-19 testing site in Lowry has collected tests from more than 650 Coloradans since Tuesday. Due to the overwhelming response in the first 2 days, the CDPHE will be operating with limited capacity today. Testing at the drive-up site today will take place from noon to 2 p.m. The first 100 to 150 vehicles will have access to the drive-up testing. Anyone arriving after that will be encouraged to seek testing from a private provider. If you have a medical emergency, call 911. Do not report to the testing site because it is not a diagnostic facility or a care facility. If you have severe respiratory symptoms, especially shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, tell the dispatcher about your symptoms. Do not wait for a COVID-19 test to call 911. The CDPHE also suggests that anyone who is symptomatic or who believes they may have been exposed to COVID-19 should call or email their physician first to get a doctor's order for testing. They will then give you information about private providers who you can get tested there. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
In other news, Indigenous people around the U.S. are applauding the Colorado State Legislature for their vote this week replacing the Columbus Day holiday with Mother Cabrini Day. Walter Echohawk, a Native American speaker, author and attorney, says the decision to repeal the Columbus Day holiday is a long time coming.
Yes, well, I think that's very good news, and it's long overdue and very appropriate, I think, to acknowledge our Native people here in North America. And Columbus had was carrying some pretty dirty baggage when he came over, you know, and it brought some catamaclamistic history, you know, ensued for the Native people. But we're still here, and I think still deserving to be acknowledged on that day in lieu of Christopher Columbus.
A review by a former federal prosecutor that was released yesterday says that the Aurora Police Department leadership made significant errors of judgment at nearly every stage in the handling of a case of an officer who was caught driving drunk while on duty. The Denver Post reports that the report was issued by former Colorado U.S. Attorney John Walsh. The report states that the ranking officer at the scene that day failed to take necessary steps to gather all evidence. In addition, then Chief of Police Nick Metz erred when he overruled an internal recommendation that the officer be fired, and then the chief erred again when he failed to initiate an investigation into how the department handled the case. In the weather today, much cooler temperatures ahead, highs in the low to mid 30s with snow showers coming in mainly after noon. Slightly breezy conditions as well. Winds, though, could gust as high as 15 miles an hour. Total daytime snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches is possible. Chance of snow continuing overnight, warming up a little bit on Saturday, highs in the mid 40s, but another chance of snow before 2 o'clock on Saturday, then a chance of a rain snow mix later in the afternoon. Clearing up though for Sunday, mostly sunny, highs getting close to 50 degrees. It is 12 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. As we have been reporting, public health officials are advising people to wash hands frequently to avoid the coronavirus, but also to self-isolate if you have any symptoms. But what happens if you have no home and no access to sanitation facilities, which is the reality for so many people in the homeless community? Well, Mary Anna Thompson with Denver Homeless Out Loud is calling on officials and members of the community to support the homeless in this time.
You know, Maeve, this is just horrible. I am really alarmed that, you know, the public health department isn't looking at this as a crisis because they do not have access to soap and water. So how can you wash your hands without soap and water? I do not see the city or any organizations passing out hand sanitizer or sanitary wipes to them. And we were trying to even get hold of the supplies like that, and they're all like sold out. And if you're in the shelters, you know, how can you, okay, so if you're in a shelter program by 9 o'clock in the morning, even if you're not feeling well, you have to go out. You come back at 5 o'clock in the evening. So how can you rest? If you're in the overflow, you are basically kicked out at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if you're on the streets with tents, there's just sweeps constantly. We've had some three major sweeps in the last 2 weeks where they've taken people's tents. So how could people even rest? I mean, this is inhumane. This is horrific.
What are you hearing directly from people who are living through those situations that you described, people who are maybe in shelters or impacted by the sweeps? And not just even the coronavirus, but if they were to get any type of illness, a flu, a cold, anything that if people have a house and a home and a bed to stay in, that they would be staying home and recovering. But if you have no home, you have nowhere to do that. What do you hear from people?
It's really frightening for them. They're asking, where do I go? A lot of times, one of the things that a friend of mine, another member in Denver Homeless Out Loud, we've been passing out flyers about Stout Street Health Clinic to go to, you know, when they feel sick. A lot of people do not even know that. We met a man recently that had been here on the streets 18 years, and he did not know where to go for health care. So, you know, the word is not getting out. And I do not understand why this is not on social media. I do not understand why this is not on the news broadcasting, you know, where to go for help, looking at the signs or symptoms of anything, whether it's hepatitis, whether it's a cold, whether it's the flu. People do not know. And so most of the time they call 911 because they do not know. And then the emergency rooms are so, you know, packed with people because that is their only source of, you know, basically getting into health care, especially if you don't have any insurance, because the emergency room cannot, you know, turn you away, whereas other, you know, say you went to an urgent care or you went, you know, went to a doctor's office, they can turn you away if you don't have insurance.
One of the things that we're seeing in response to this is people stockpiling supplies, toilet roll, dried goods, food. And as a result, shelves are empty. As you said, there's no sanitizer, hand sanitizer to be bought, even if you could buy it and you had those means. But then consequently, we're also hearing from food pantries that they're suffering because as people are stockpiling, they're not giving and donating to food pantries. So what would you say to people who are, you know, understandably concerned about their own safety and that of their families, in terms of those people who don't have a safety net at all, what do people really need to consider?
One of the things I think that, you know, when there's an epidemic, the first thing that you think about is fear. So people, like you said, are stockpiling. When a lot of times you don't really need, I don't think, you know, as a former nurse, you need to do that. I think you need to think about the community and think about, you know, okay, so if your basement is filled up with you know, toilet paper, hand sanitizers, and wipes, what about the next person that's waiting, going to have to wait 2 weeks until they can even get hold of one bottle of hand sanitizer? You know, I think that we need to, you know, be mindful of what we're doing based out of fear.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us, and I'd love to check in with you regularly as things evolve or move. I'll check in with the city authorities to see what their plans are, if any, to deal with those vulnerable populations. But in the meantime, Mariana, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And how can people support the work that you're doing, and particularly right now, really that frontline work that you're doing to support the homeless?
Any donations of clothing, hand sanitizers, even you know, liquid soap, because, you know, if necessary, people could maybe go to, you know, maybe people can get some water somewhere or have, you know, water access like bottled water, but they don't have any soap. You know, any soap products, you could bring it to Denver Homeless Out Loud. It's at the El Centro Humanitarian Building. It's a purple building. It's the corner of California and Park Avenue.
And you can find out more about Denver Homeless Out Loud and contact them directly. Their website is denverhomelessoutloud.org. And we just heard there from Mariana Thompson, who's a volunteer with the organisation. Well, we are reaching out to local groups that are working with different homeless communities to ask how they're responding right now. Well, the Bridge House in Boulder says that they're doing pretty much what everybody else is doing, extreme sanitation in their facilities, asking clients to be washing hands using sanitizer supervisor regularly, and we'll be checking in to see what facilities are being done or what facilities are in place now and what provisions are in place for these extremely vulnerable populations that are having a hard time regardless of what's happening outside. So we do appreciate the capacity that we have as a community radio station to connect you with these other vulnerable populations, and we'll be giving you updates as well and also letting you know how you can help support some of these other vulnerable populations. Well, lots of people are calling in showing their appreciation of KGNU, including Mary Ann, who donated. She says she appreciates all the programming and she wants to ensure its continuance. Democracy Now is an important part of the day. A big thanks to Cody Gutierrez, who has donated. He loves the musical discovery that you get listening to KGNU. Several listeners have donated. They'd like to remain anonymous, but a huge heartfelt thank you to you. And thank you to James, who's also donated as well. Lots of people calling in, really recognising that, you know, this is a time where we're pulling together and that it's important that we have touchstones like KGNU. And we will continue to bring you updates as they come in and also talk about some of the groups that are particularly impacted and giving you information as we move forward and seeing what's happening right now with COVID-19. We have a special show coming up in just about 10 minutes time, talking about some of the social implications of what is happening as well. Well, NED Speaks is a new initiative of the Netherlands Public Library. KGNU is excited to be partnering with them in the coming weeks to broadcast the oral histories that are being collected as part of the project. I spoke with Charlie Westering, who is the coordinator of NED Speaks.
So NED Speaks is a new oral history project that we're doing, attempting to collect oral histories from community members and to get people to engage in those histories.
Now, oral history, it's not a new thing. I know that many libraries engage in this. I think it's pretty new, though, for Netherlands, right?
Yeah. It's a new project for us in Netherlands over the last month or so. And it's something that we're now working with the Carnegie Library here in Boulder and potentially with the Denver Public Library to try and get our archives into their collection.
And what was the impetus behind this? Why do you want to have all of these stories from the Netherlands area collected and curated?
Well, I think as everybody who's ever been up to Netherlands knows, the town is absolutely full of colorful characters and a really wonderful and rich history from the mining days through Caribou Ranch and the music aspect of that. We have a wide variety of professional athletes as well who are living in the area and training there because they're at high altitude. So there's a very happy collection of all of these stories, and nobody's doing anything to preserve them.
So we're going to be broadcasting some of these stories right here on KGNU to share them, not just with folks who are living in Netherlands, but really the broader community, because I think Netherlands has a special place in the heart of many people because of its rich history. There are so many things that are really iconic to Netherlands that make it quite unique as well. One of them being the Frozen Dead guy. And that's one of the oral histories we're going to be broadcasting here on KGNU. Give us a sense of, for people who don't know who the Frozen Dead guy is and how this whole story has evolved in Netherlands.
Okay, so in 1989, Bredo Morstol died of a heart condition. He was Norwegian, and his son was very interested in cryogenics, cryonics, life preservation, that kind of thing. So upon Bredo's death, he was frozen in liquid nitrogen at a cryonics institute in California for about 4 years before he was moved here to Netherlands. And he has been on dry ice and frozen for the last 30 years in a little shed up in the hills above Netherlands.
Why did he move from California to Netherlands in the first place?
Well, Bredo was dead at the time, but I think that there was something to do with the cost of keeping Grandpa on liquid nitrogen. I think there was also something really appealing about moving to the mountains and to a place that was isolated and where Trygvi could really do his thing and be allowed to do that. So his whole idea was to start a cryonics institute in Netherlands, and he actually wrote a lengthy treatise to the U.S. government trying to get permission to open a cryonics institute.
Well, Netherlands has really embraced this. As a result, we've had the Frozen Dead Guy Days festival that has emerged out of that. I mean, give us a sense of what it means for Netherlands to have this association and what it all means.
Well, in sometime in the mid-90s, I believe it was 94, the town board had the idea that they wanted to do a winter festival sometime in March. Everybody had gotten so tired of hearing, "You're from Netherland? Isn't that where the frozen dead guy is?" that this kind of, you know, became part of the identity of the town and became the perfect hook to bring people into Netherland for the festival.
Well, you, as part of the oral history and the Ned Speaks series, interviewed Brad Wickham. What's his connection to this?
So Brad Wickham is the current caretaker of Grandpa Bredo. So every 2 weeks for the last 8 years, Brad has delivered a sizable quantity of dry ice to the tough shed behind Trigvi's house.
But we're going to hear from Brad Wickham. This is part of the Ned Speaks series. We're going to be broadcasting many of these oral histories on KGNU. Give us a sense of how many you've collected, you know, how they represent or who they represent in Netherlands, and then also your plans and your ambitions for how far this project could reach.
So we have four speakers speaking about Frozen Dead Guy Days, and we're now looking at other topics for the future with this coronavirus pandemic that's coming about. We're looking at doing resilience in the mountains coming up in April. So we'll be speaking with some folks about what it means to live in the mountains, to live in isolation, and to be self-sufficient.
That's so interesting because as we are hearing from public health officials that many people are being advised to self-isolate, this is something many folks in and around the Netherlands area are actually pretty adept at.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot we can learn from the folks who are living in off-grid cabins out in the middle of the woods, who are hiking or skiing in half a mile, 2 miles to their cabin every day, and who have had to make it work. And if they're too sick to split wood, then they're going to freeze.
Regardless of what is happening right now with the Frozen Dead Guy Day Festival, there still is an opportunity for people to participate in some way. You're doing an oral history or story scavenger hunt.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll have QR codes with links to audio files. These are going to be hidden in plain sight all over the town of Netherland for the next several weeks. And you can just scan the code with your phone and hear an interesting snippet of the story. The other thing that we're doing is we're asking people to submit their own Frozen Dead stories from previous years, and we're actually doing a contest with that. We have a bunch of fun prizes to give away to people as well.
And what's the time frame for submission?
We're really running by the seat of our pants here because all of this is developing in real time. So I think we're going to give it about 2 weeks until the end of March, and then we'll decide on the winner.
So we'll hear some of those stories. That's coming up later in the spring. But in the meantime, there are still several of the Ned Speaks Oral History that we're going to be airing on KGNU, but also they're all available on the website for the Netherland Library as well. And I know you're sharing them on different social media platforms.
Yeah, that's right. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we're asking people to become involved with the project themselves, to tag their own stories with the hashtag NedSpeaks. We're also on the Netherland Library website. That's nedlib.org, NEDLIB.org. And there's a link to NedSpeaks on the top menu bar.
And are you looking for people who are willing to participate in this and share their own stories?
Absolutely. I think everybody has a story. That's one of the overarching principles of this project. And so I'd love to hear stories from folks. Please do reach out if you have a story that you'd like to tell and that you'd like to archive for time immemorable.
And just give people a sense that when we talk about Netherland, people might think of the frozen dead guys, and we're talking about that. People might think about people living in cabins or the mine, but there's a rich history. There's all kinds of stories up in Netherland.
Absolutely, yeah. And one of the big things that we're going to be doing is reaching out to try and find stories that are sort of atypical for Nederland, or that aren't associated with the town so much. So looking, again, I mentioned speaking with professional athletes. That's a big subsection of the population there that is not sort of your typical Ned head.
The best way for people to reach you is through the website?
Yeah. You can certainly reach out to me through the website. Otherwise, you can always email me. And my email is cwesterink.ncl@gmail.com. I assume you can put a link up for that.
We'll put links at our website as well as links to the website for Ned Speaks and other things. And do please catch the Ned Speaks Oral Histories right here on KGN. You are going to be rolling them out on Friday mornings in the coming weeks. But we will hear right now from Brad Wickham, who is the current caretaker of the frozen dead guy. Thank you so much, Charles.
Thanks.
Charles Westerink is the coordinator of the Ned Speaks series at the Nederland Public Library. As we heard, we're going to be playing these oral histories on Friday mornings in the coming weeks. Well, the Frozen Dead Guy Festival was cancelled in the light of everything going on, but we are still going to hear next from Brad Wickham, the one of the oral histories as part of Ned Speaks. And Brad Wickham is the current caretaker of the Frozen Dead Guy.
They have brought individual cells back. They brought simple organisms back from, you know, being frozen in Antarctica, and there's some that are frozen for years and come back. So I think the science can support it, but we would probably need quantum computers and institution to come up with the ability to do so. I think scientifically the properties are there, and that's what Trigva bases it all off of. Notice that in that BBC thing, which is still available online, but I got a idea of where he got all this from, in that their piece was about the Immortal North and how the Scandinavians have always been fascinated with freezing to death, reanimating after freezing. And so earlier experiments were like killing it, or, you know, freezing a chicken and bring it back alive and things like that. So they have myths and stories about frozen giants and frozen gods, or frozen pagan gods or whatever, and they all reside up north in the frozen land. So I feel like after I, got to know that, I realized, well, this is part of their culture. It's not that far-fetched when you think of it from that perspective. So I do not think it's possible to bring a human back now or any time in the near future, but science advances toward that. So whether I would do it or not, I don't think so. I like the idea of transitioning to another dimension, more fun than this one. And if not, then this one's been fun. So I don't know. It's like I wouldn't do it. But if we're going to talk about long transitions in space or things like that, then the research is good, That's why I think about it. Trigva doesn't think he'll be brought back either. We haven't discussed it directly, but I heard, on that interview with BBC Lady, that it's been too long and DNA sampling would be the route to go now. But in the meantime, he's still there.
That's Brad Wickham, the current caretaker of the Frozen Dead Guy in Nederland. Now, the festival might be cancelled, but you can hear lots of the oral histories around the Frozen Dead Guy, who he is and who's looking after him and why he's in Nederland. And it's all on the website of the Nederland Public Library as part of their Ned Speaks series.